This has been one of my favorite classroom projects here at Wabash. I really enjoy the process of going out into the surrounding community and meeting new people. In my letter to my interviewee, I talked about how as students of Wabash, we can often separate ourselves from Crawfordsville and Montgomery County. I feel projects like this are really beneficial in getting students to break out of the box and have the opportunity to meet great people of the community. From experiences like this, not only do we build connections, but we better understand our surrounding community, and we see how we can continue to help impacting the community or how the community impacts us.
That's my student, Jaleel. The assignment he's referring to is an interview with a local community member whom he'd never met before. My name is Jill Lamberton, and I teach in the English department at Wabash College in Crawfordsville, Indiana. Crawfordsville is in Montgomery County, and for the past couple of years, my audio rhetoric students have been conducting audio interviews with community members who are not formally affiliated with the college. Once our students have recorded these conversations, and many of them run between 30 and 90 minutes, I ask the students to create a log of the interview and to edit it into one story, something like an audio paragraph. I tell them to aim for 2 to 3 minutes, though students frequently end up with final drafts that run as long as 4 or 5 minutes in order to honor the story. Eventually, we post the story and a photograph of the interviewee on a dedicated website we call Humans of Montgomery County. It's a project we've modeled on Brandon Stanton's enormously successful Humans of New York. So I've had two collaborators in teaching this unit. They're talented journalists from our college's public relations team.
My name is Richard Page. I am the Associate Director of Communications and Marketing at Wabash College.
I'm Steve Charles. I'm the editor of Wabash Magazine.
How long have you been helping people tell their stories?
First time recording my grandparents when I was in high school, so I was 14, so that'd be about 48 years. How about you, Rich?
Well, you got me beat by a couple of decades there. I've only been doing this sort of full-time for about 25 years now.
I ask them to help for two reasons. First, they tell stories for a living. As members of the PR department, their stories are designed to keep the college community connected to itself. I thought I could learn something from them. And second, I knew my students would respond well to having interview experts as guest lecturers. Frankly, I was hoping I might get a class session or two out of Rich and Steve, but I asked if they'd be co-teachers for the whole unit, and they said yes. Having the right collaborators infused this assignment with all kinds of life, even if it also came with a bit of attitude.
God, it's hard to be serious when everybody else in the room is laughing.
That was a good one. That's for you, Jill.
Screw you guys.
We had two major learning outcomes for the community interview assignment, and I'll tell you what they are, even though I realize they may sound crazy ambitious. First, we wanted to teach our students to be better listeners.
A stereotype of guys in this age group is that they talk a lot but don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we wanted to do was teach them to listen.
Second, we wanted to see if we could improve the town-gown relationships by getting people to sit down together and tell stories.
This town-gown thing here is pretty interesting and sometimes strained, and it seems like stories is a real good way to kind of break through barriers, a way for, you know, for people to realize that we had much more in common.
That was what was interesting about it to me, is we were going to try to arm the students with the skills necessary to collect these things and then send them out in the community and do it.
It might be useful to know a bit more about our context. So Wabash College is one of three remaining all-male colleges in the United States. The other two are Hampton, Sydney in Virginia and Morehouse in Atlanta, in case you're wondering. Our student body is small, under 1,000, and though my students come from all over the U.S. and from around the world, about 75% of them are Hoosiers. Those of us who work at Wabash know it's a place where young men defy cultural stereotypes about college-aged men way more often than they confirm them. It's a fascinating place to teach, but that's a topic for a different audio essay. So about the town, Crawfordsville is a town of about 16,000 in the corn and soybean fields of West Central Indiana. The young people who grow up here and those who attend college here have a tendency to see their futures shining most brightly somewhere else. Yet there are many who choose to stay in Crawfordsville, and those of us who live here know scores of local residents who are thoughtful, educated, big-hearted human beings. We wanted our students to see more of that. In the alphabetic part of this chapter, I outline all the scaffolding steps we took and share several assignment handouts, so I won't repeat myself here. Instead, what I want to emphasize right now is how impressed I was, even touched, by how much the students wanted to do a good job with these interviews.
Yeah, the level of buy-in.
Yeah.
I mean, right from the beginning. And I think that was one of my hesitations. I mean, for anybody, you know, who Jill's trying to talk to about this program, where you think the students might not really want to do it, they wanted to do it.
The students worked really hard, perhaps especially after they'd met with the community member and felt a responsibility to tell their story well. But they worked hard beforehand, too. Here's one of my students, Zach.
I was super nervous for the whole thing in the beginning. As for preparing for the interview, I did a lot of work in the recording booth. I received help from a senior who helped me understand the equipment. I spent at least 3 hours getting comfortable in the booth before my interview. The day of the interview, I got into the recording booth about an hour and 30 minutes before my interview to set everything up and to test the sound levels.
Zach interviewed a community member named Corey Thrush, who talked about his older brother, Rob, who has an intellectual disability. Corey explained that at 50, Rob's mind is more like that of a 12-year-old.
One of the tough things about growing up with a handicapped sibling, kids can be very cruel. I spent a lot of my younger years growing up with Rob getting into fights, defending him, and getting my butt kicked by older kids. It shaped me from the sense that I have zero patience for people that make fun of handicapped, disabled, special needs people. I'm a pretty calm guy, pretty laid back. Situations that involve stuff like that, I there's no place for it. I tend to look at people like that, that there's something missing in you. If you can make fun of somebody like that or be cruel to somebody like that, you're missing a human part that I don't know how to give you or how to teach you.
As for the interview itself, I thought it went very well. I'm not sure if it was my connection with him about handicapped siblings or just the context itself. The conversation between Corey and I was deep and meaningful. Honestly, the interview highlighted one of the best moments of my short time here at Wabash. After I had my interview recorded, I knew exactly what story I wanted to pursue. The story of his brother and how it shaped him as a person really needed to be told.
If the first part of this project was about developing interviewing skills and making a human connection, the sound writing portion came in the editing and production phase. After the students had completed their final drafts, I asked them to write a reflective letter in which they articulate their sound writing process and what they think they learned from the unit. The reflective letters tend to highlight one of the reasons I'm a born-again soundwriting teacher. Here's the thing. After 20 years of teaching traditional college writing classes, where I urge students to put voice in their writing, and especially trying to get them to grasp the power of deep revision, I'm amazed at how my audio rhetoric students get editing. I mean, listen to the kinds of things they say about the time and the care they put into their final drafts. First, here's Jaleel.
I believe I ultimately captured this story. However, the process of doing so was very tedious. Audio editing is a great tool, but through this project, I learned the many challenges of it. I see how time-consuming it actually is as you work toward that perfect cut and capturing the best sound. Spending hours in GarageBand cutting and dragging different clips to try and create the best narrative was a very patient part of this project. Luckily, throughout the process, we had the help of our peers, as well as Dr. Lamberton and Mr. Charles. This is really beneficial as we could get another ear on our project. In times where we may have just thought it sounded good enough because we were tired of editing, the extra ear was able to provide unbiased advice, helping the overall quality of the projects.
And here's Zach.
The final audio clip has about 20 different splits in it. The hardest part of it all was getting the audio to flow like natural talking. Sometimes, in between two splits, there wasn't a long enough pause and it sounded choppy. So what I found was finding his natural pauses in different parts of the interview and just squeezing it in between the clips. At one split, the pause wasn't enough, so I had to search the whole audio clip to find an or a but to have it sound natural.
I mean, thoughtful, if painful, editing choices, collaboration, and tapping into a writing community, remaining faithful to the story even when you're tired of it and feel like quitting, it's all there. But I'll be honest that after we received the students' final drafts, Steve and I did find ourselves doing more editing before we were ready to post them on the website, especially in the first year of teaching the unit.
What particular challenges or pitfalls do we need to consider when doing this? Time. How much time it took. On the back end, the first year, Jill and I both doing a lot of editing after the students.
The work on the back end is going to take more time than you expect in any given year, more so in the first year than any.
The second year, either it was just the guys had more familiarity with the program, the editing was stronger.
One of my comp ret mentors once told me, I always have to teach something once before I know how to teach it. And that was certainly true of this assignment. Part of the reason I think students' essays were closer to publication quality in the second year is that we were better able to articulate what we were looking for and what made a good Humans of Montgomery County audio clip. Students in the second year could also listen to the previous year's examples as guidelines. But again, even in the first year, our students' engagement with the project and the community members' reports of the interviews made us feel good about the work.
As far as the students go, I mean, that the ability to listen was immense in our students. To see those guys go through that process and really tune in to what was there was impressive.
We feel pretty satisfied that for the 30 or so people who participated in this project each year, we were able to complicate their impressions of each other. For Zach, who took the course as a first-year student while he was still finding his way at the college, the project had personal benefits.
Overall, I love this project. The idea of extracting stories from people excites me. I'm a very quiet person, but on an intimate level, I love to talk. The experience of this project has made me a better talker, listener, and audio editor. I am quite sad to have this project behind me now because I would love to do another one.
Steve and Rich said they felt reinvigorated in their day jobs after spending time in the classroom and listening to the students' productions. Perhaps most gratifying, we were all reminded of the ways that storytelling and careful listening are still the building blocks of community.
I don't know how to properly quantify it as to who got more out of this. To see the guys do so well and to engage in the project in the sort of in the way that we envisioned was really rewarding.
Yeah, and as a storyteller, to watch them embrace it and watch them realize how rewarding this is and how cool this is, I found, like, I really believe this stuff. I really believe stories are really important.
What do you think the project did for the community members? What's the value?
Well, I know. I mean, I talked to several of them. It changed their perception of our students. A lot of the kind of stereotypes of what certainly a male college student is fell for several of these people. Even people who kind of knew the college were surprised at their ability to sit there and listen. The idea that these guys came and listened, they were polite. You could tell that they wanted to hear the stories. So for that community member, it changed that perception, but it also it did what we hoped, which was it honored them. They felt honored. They felt like they mattered because they do.